Why don't you come and sit along the front row for me? Come on. It's just nice. It's nice for me to have some friendly faces. Not that they weren't already, obviously. And also, you won't have to shout your heckles quite as loud if you're there either, so that's all right. So, I've entitled this message, "License to Fish." That will become apparent later on as to why. I don't know a lot about fishing or fishing licenses. That's not an image I'm going to drive home too far, but that will become apparent as we go on. Before I start, I just want to place this passage that we're looking at in a bit of context. So in John's Gospel, since the death of Jesus, these are the events that's happened. Simon Peter has seen the empty tomb, and Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene at that point, but in terms of the key one. Since then, Jesus appears to his disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit in a passage that actually James read out at the beginning of the service in a wonderful act of coincidence, I think. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. You're looking at me blankly, James. Breathed on them, and Jesus at that point shows his hands and his side to those disciples. Thomas wasn't there to see that. So there's a repeat performance when he is there. Again, the hands and the side shown to Thomas at that point, which we looked at last week. At that point, the gospel seems to wind up. There's a nice sort of rounding off passage. And then we have this almost appendix section that comes afterwards. The passage we're looking at this week and next week as well. I shan't dwell too much on that. Debate split about whether it was added by the same author in a sort of a second draft, or whether it's been added by one of his followers after the fact. It's not too important right at this moment to understand why that's occurred, but it perhaps explains why there's some things you might expect to see earlier in the gospel that relate to this passage which aren't there. We'll explain a bit of that as we go on later. And just to place this in the core theme of John's gospel. Now, this is something that we've been looking at in one of my youth Bible study groups about the different primary themes that go through the gospels. So when I invited you to come down the front, I didn't necessarily tell you there was going to be a pop quiz. But there is. Can any of you guys remember from the sessions that we've done, one of the core themes that we identified from John's gospel? It was the last one that we did. I'll give you a clue. Or what we compared it to. I'll give you that. Imogen, yeah. Making the kingdom of heaven known on earth. I mean, that wasn't a plant. It really wasn't. But that's just a key theme to bear in mind as we look at this passage. In explaining this passage, I would like to compare it to another passage. So from Luke chapter 5, another miraculous catch of fish, where Jesus first calls his disciples, some of whom are present at this account here in John. And the reason I brought up the fact that this is at the sort of the added bit to John is I wondered why, given the huge parallels between these two stories, why John didn't choose to include it himself. But if this is a section that's been added on after the rest of the gospel was written, he might not have appreciated the significance at the time. Who knows? But what I would like to do is to compare these two passages with a bit of a summary, and then I've got a couple of practical pointers to round off with. So looking at this account in Luke, I see three stages that occur. There's the disciples following Jesus' words, and then that leads to a miraculous provision, a huge catch of fish. So I'll just read these verses from Luke 5, and these are 4 to 6. He said to Simon, this is Jesus, of course, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon Peter, of course, answered, "Well, not yet, maybe. We have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So, a simple instruction to let down nets. is what has led to this miraculous catch of fish. Following on, this miracle that Jesus performs confirms his identity. It reveals his identity. Simon Peter already referred to Jesus at this point as master. He had just healed his mother-in-law, I believe, at this point. But suddenly the language changes. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." There's a recognition of a greater identity than just a good teacher that's worth following. And the third thing that happens, Jesus then gives them a purpose. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people, or you will be fishers of men," in the traditional rendering. So, just to give you guys a physical example of that process, that three-stage process. Imogen, can you come up and help me? So, we're just going to sort of act through a little bit of this process. So, we're going to pretend that I'm Jesus at this point. So I'm going to give you an instruction. You can hold on to that. You got it? Nice and tight. And we're going to experience a miraculous provision at this point. Thank you. At this point, you're amazed at how special I am, right? Yeah, I know. So I'm going to commission you with a task, which is to bring me a cup of coffee after the service. Just one sugar. Make sure it's stirred in. Okay, lovely. Excellent. You can sit down now. Just in case you work on visual examples, that three-stage process. But moving to John, I think we see the same process around this physical miracle happen all over again. Following an instruction of Jesus leading to miracle provision. And from John 21 then, which we've heard this earlier, he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some fish," in this case. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This miracle reminds the disciples, or shows the disciples, who this man on the shore is. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped in the water. Now, we were discussing this passage, as in my Sunday morning group last week, in preparation for this. Curious thing to do. It reminded us a lot of putting on our pajamas to get the brick off the bottom of the pool. But it could well be that we're talking about shallow waters here. And the fact that he takes his garment with him, he knows who he's going to meet and doesn't want to meet Jesus in what he either is or isn't wearing whilst he was fishing. He knows who it is. He wants to show respect, so he's taking some clothes. Then, okay, I'll join some dots for you on this one in a moment. Jesus gives them a purpose. When they had landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Now, it doesn't sound like much of a purpose, straight off the bat, I'll give you that. But I dwelt on this particular part of the passage for some time. And I was a bit confused as to why would Jesus ask the disciples to bring some of the fish when we clearly see he's already got some fish. He's already got some fish. He doesn't need fish to feed them with. We know his abilities to make fish go quite a long way. That's fine. It's not a practical need that's being met here, I don't think. I think it speaks to something deeper. I think John, when writing this, he'll have been familiar with that passage from Luke and that story where Jesus has invited them to come and come and fish for people. So, when I look at this passage, I view it as a reminder, an encouragement for those disciples to get on board with what Jesus is doing, to go and bring people into the kingdom, to add to what is already there, to bring new people into the kingdom. The kingdom of God being people that know and love him. So, we have a passage here in John. We have a physical miracle and so much symbolism and meaning that it's off the scale, and I'm not going to be able to address all of it this morning, but there's a couple that I would like to focus in on. This isn't one of them. The significance of the 153 fish is widely discussed, and I've seen some interesting theories on why that number is significant. As you can see, all the numbers up to 17 add up to 153 for you maths fans. And then various interpretations about the significance of 17, including it's the number of loaves for the feeding of the 5,000 added to the number of baskets left over, 5 plus 12. It's quite serious thinkers have gone into this. And I'm not one to dismiss the significance of numbers in the Bible whatsoever. Biblical numerology, I think it's called, something like that. If you try and read Revelation without a nod to that, you're going to have a hard time, I think. However, that's not what I'm going to focus on right here. I think there are two particular symbols, images that I would like to focus on that have a practical application for us. Small acts for Jesus can lead to an abundant blessing, a massive blessing. And the opposite, if we're trying to do things apart from Jesus, separate from Jesus, then that is not going to be the case. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus was speaking and he says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And it seems the disciples have just had a very keen reminder of that fact, having had another night on the Sea of Galilee. So Tiberias, Gennesaret, Galilee, it's all the same sea, I'm led to believe. Another night catching no fish. I wonder if perhaps that message of Jesus might have been ringing in their ears at that point. The second point, that God's kingdom has room for anyone. This is where there's a difference between the two accounts, the one in Luke and the one in John, which is why I've decided to reference them together. So in Luke's gospel, when they'd let down the nets, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. The nets began to break and the boats began to sink. There were so many fish. It's an unmanageable amount of fish. And I think we've got to bear in mind at this point, this is at the passage where Jesus says you were going to fish for people. The analogy between fish and people is very strong in this passage. This is before Jesus has really begun his ministry, before he's died for the sin of the world, and before he's come back and commissioned the disciples to go out to the nations. At this point, if we use the analogy of the kingdom of God, it seems that there's a limited space. It can't cope with the huge amounts of fish that are there at that time. But later in John, after Jesus' death and resurrection, the net was full of fish, large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. We don't see the net breaking or boats sinking anymore. Through the work and life of Jesus, there's room for anyone in God's kingdom. Now, whether you want to draw that distinction or whether you think that's a bit of a stretch, either way, these miraculous catches of fish just show that there's room for anyone in the kingdom. But for us as fishers of people, what can we take from that? Well, the fact that small acts for Jesus can lead to abundant blessing. Now, in my youth work, I often spend a lot of time trying to think up what could be a really brilliant, insightful, format or message that I could bring, something that's so wonderful that people would have no choice but to respond in waves to it. And I think I do have a duty to put God's message across in the most accessible way and use my skills to that end. However, it's not down to what I do. For someone to come to know Jesus, that's a heartfelt conviction that happens completely apart from me. So it's not about doing something that's fantastic. For the disciples, for their miracle abundance, they just had to lower the net over the side. So for us, maybe it's being willing to drop our net, to make that invitation, to start that conversation, even without necessarily a full and clever and thought through plan about how things might work. Sometimes it's just we've got to put ourselves out there and lower those nets. That God's kingdom has room for everyone. Now, I don't know about you, if I'm contemplating doing a bit of evangelism to my friends or people that I know, I'm naturally start thinking about those people that I think might be most receptive. To use the analogy, the fish that are all already jumping so near the boat that it's not going to take much just to sort of knock them in. Those friends that maybe we've already had positive conversations with, we think, that's going to be my evangelism target. That's the person I'm going to reach out to. But in this passage, we see huge amounts of fish into the nets. Not just likely ones. The disciples couldn't catch even any easy ones on their own. So maybe we shouldn't be so selective in who we choose to make those invitations to, who we choose to start those conversations with, who we choose to approach. There's enough room in the kingdom for anyone and everyone who will respond. So maybe we should cast our net a little bit wider on that one. As I said, there was much to be said about the symbolism in this passage. We could go on for quite a while, but I just wanted to tease out some practical points that, as well as those first disciples being called to it, we are called to be fishers for people. And in these accounts of miraculous displays of God's abundance and God's provision, I think we can take these two things to heart. That it's not about us, but sometimes we might have to just do the simplest of acts to see fruit. We just have to let down the net. And it's a net, it's not a harpoon. We don't need to be so selective and choosy about how we use it. So I would just like to close with a brief prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your miraculous provision as described in these passages. And we thank you for the person of Jesus who showed himself to his disciples once risen from the dead and who continues to be with us today. We just pray for ears to hear your instructions or to seek your instructions through our reading of the Bible or however those promptings might come to us. We just ask for your help in following those and for the courage to step out into situations to drop those nets for you, Lord. Amen.